in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. It's page 865 in the Pew Bible. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word. From Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. Give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said to them in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold." And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." May God bless the reading of his word. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the holy scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. We thank you that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. And so now, as we turn to consider them, as Pastor Needham comes to preach your word, we ask that your spirit would help us to understand, that we would not be hearers of your word only, but doers of it. And we also pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear rightly and to bear great fruit for your word and for your glory. We thank you that you give us your word. We pray that you would work mightily amongst it by your spirit this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The text tonight that I want to encourage you to consider carefully, both in its meaning and its application, is found in chapter 8 of Luke. And the text is in verse 8. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I propose to you that the scripture has much to say about hearing. If you take a concordance, a simple step, take a concordance and look up the word listen and look up the word hear, and you'll see it occurs many times, both in the Old and the New Testament. And It's no mystery that this is an issue we should consider when you reflect upon the fact that Christ is telling us in a parable that there's an issue of listening that's tied to even our eternal destiny, and that it's still applicable. It's no accident, I believe, that in the present high-tech age, listening is still an issue. Different secondary causes, but people who study these things are noting that people who use electronic communication incessantly or spend much time on Nexus or smartphones and so on often have problem listening carefully. And so tonight I want to address the issue of godly hearing or godly listening or holy hearing. You can take your choice as to how you want to head it. This is an issue that goes back for centuries, and Christ reflects what was said in Isaiah 6, if you care to follow and turn there. Isaiah 6, beginning with verse 8. This follows the great revelation of God in the temple to his prophet Isaiah, a text that we love, I trust, all of us. And then in verse 8, the prophet says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed.'" Now, in looking at this, we need to deal with one obvious issue, that Christ is not talking to people who are born without ears. I don't know what the medical statistics are, but I think there are few people indeed who are born with truly no ears, just a little hole in the side of their head. That's not a common disfigurement or common birth defect. And so he's clearly talking to the mass of the human race and to, of course, those called of God in particular, to address something besides the fact of physical ears as such, but to address the issue of listening. Now, is Christ saying that we can hear without really listening? And I would submit yes. Is he saying that we can listen without really hearing? Yes. That we can listen without really listening, and we can hear without really hearing. Look at his words in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, 13. "Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while hearing, they do not see, and while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Now, there's often been cases made that you can listen and not really hear, or hear and not really listen. And I'm unable to find a hard and fast rule which says one English word is more profound than the other. They're used interchangeably, and we see that in the translation itself that I just read to you. So how can it be that Christ says that we are to, if we have ears, to hear, when we obviously can hear people talk unless we have been rendered deaf by virtue of an accident or genetic defect? So if we look at the parable of the sower, which is often addressed from the point of view of the soil of the heart, the condition of the heart, which is eminently legitimate, but I propose to look at it with you from a different perspective, the types of hearing or hearing problems that Christ addressed in the context of this parable. So if you look at his explanation, the parable itself, excuse me, first of all, the sower went out to sow the seed, and he sowed, some fell on the road and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And the other seed fell on the rocky soil, and soon it grew up, withered away, and because it had no moisture. And other seed fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop of 100 times as great. It says nothing there about hearing. Nothing. But look at his explanation. After saying that the reason he speaks in parables is to render judicial consequence on those who are not being moved to see and to hear, he says the parable works out this way. Verse 12, those beside the road are those who have heard, now comes the hearing insight, the spiritual hearing, we can say, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, and they may not believe and be saved. So we could say one type of deficient hearing addressed in Scripture, one category of problematic hearing, is hearing that is taken away by the devil, that is devoid of unbelief, comes, takes away the seed from the heart so that they do not believe and are saved. So one type of defective hearing is hearing that's accompanied with skepticism, or that rests upon unbelief and disregard of the authority of Scripture. That's one category of unholy or unrighteous hearing. And then in verse 13, and those on the rocky place are those who, when they hear, here comes the verb again, are receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. So a second category is that of hearing with joy, but without both a doctrinal and an applicatory foundation that resists any kind of temptation or difficulty, of hearing that resists persecution ultimately. It's a weak hearing. It's a rootless hearing. It's not one well grounded. So we have hearing without understanding. We have hearing without belief. We have hearing that is without a root. And then we have yet another kind of deficiency of hearing. Verse 14, and the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and they go away, go on their way and are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. And so we have yet another cluster of folks of deficient hearing who have what they've heard choked out by the worries and cares of the world, the desire for riches, pleasures of this life, and have no spiritual fruit. So from this we can see that there's a cluster of reasons that people are given, if I could use this word, the judicial discipline of insufficient hearing, hearing that's fruitless. Well, I would hope that this would quickly bring to mind the question, well, what kind of hearing is fruit-bearing? What kind of hearing is fruitful? What is the evidence of effective hearing, of holy listening and holy hearing? Well, if we backtrack with the text itself, and I failed, by the way, to fully address the first issue, which is in verse 10, they may not see and hear, that they may not understand. I did mention it in passing, but not carefully. repent of that. Forgive me. But understanding the Word of God is an inseparable element of God-blessed hearing. Would you turn, please, to Matthew 13 again? Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. Does not understand the kingdom. If you and I would be holy hearers, one of the contributory blessings, one of the contributory graces, is to seek prayerfully to understand the kingdom. Now that may seem too obvious, but clearly Christ ties it, the failure to understand, with the failure to hear effectually, the failure to respond savingly and fruitfully to the gospel. And then, of course, there's the bearing of spiritual fruit, Matthew 13, verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. There's the positive, of course, on the issue of understanding, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So exercising the mind is an important part of effective hearing. And if we look again at the text, Luke 8, we see this reflected well in verse 15. And the seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word, and with an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. So what is an honest and good heart? Romans 3 tells us, there's none good, no, not one, none that understands. In and of ourselves, it's impossible. But in the grace of God, God can bring a person to that place where they not only are redeemed, but begin to grow spiritually and are sanctified. And the fulfillment is interesting. If you look at verse 8, the seed that fell on the good soil and grew up and produced a crop of 100 times as great is the fulfillment of the hearing mandate as it's given to the church. Now, verses 16 and 17, there's yet another element. If you look at verse 15, he addresses the good fruit of perseverance, particularly, and then says, now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. So what's going on here? He shifts from hearing to this idea of a lamp being lit and not hidden under a bed, put under a jar or a jug to hide its light. And I would submit that, first of all, this is an obligation that flows out of fruit-bearing and understanding the word. In other words, that flows out of effectual hearing, out of holy hearing. And in this type of obligation, believers are to reflect the presence and blessing and person of Christ in their obvious conduct. We are, if we are indeed redeemed, Christ said we are the light of the world. We are not to hide our light under a bushel. We're to shine forth with the gospel. And we're to be believers in a dark world with the light of the gospel. Matthew 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5. verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, effectual hearing, hearing that is holy, is going to produce a fruit, a spiritual fruit that's rich, of which one element in particular is the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ. In other words, those who have listened effectually to the gospel, the call of Christ, and here's the call now from our text, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. One who has responded to that and has come into an acceptance of the significance of that in terms of its effect in us, cannot keep from shining the light of Jesus Christ. It will inevitably come out. Nothing can stop it. It cannot be hidden. And so, out of that irresistible grace of God and sanctification comes a remarkable declaration of a twofold promise. And that promise is in verse 18. Take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even that which he has, shall be taken away. Notice Christ is still on the subject of listening. Verse 18, therefore, take care how you listen. He's gone through a parable to illustrate different types of listening deficiencies or causes, if you will, of ineffective listening. He's pointed out that those who do listen effectually listen with a humble and heart that is grounded in integrity and the understanding of the word and perseveres. And that it can't be hidden. So what about this promise in verse 18? Well, I want to take you to the second half of verse 18, first of all. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Remember the connection. Take heed how you hear. And then he draws these two promises from that warning. Take heed how you hear, or if you will, how you listen. Jesus Christ is saying that one of the consequences of unrighteous listening, one of the consequences is the eventual loss not only of what we have, but even what we have thought we had. Now, it's interesting to compare that with the text in Matthew, which leaves out the part about what he thinks he has, just that whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. So Christ is dealing with the fact that so profound is the issue of hearing in our daily walk with Christ and our living for him, that if we are not hearing on God's terms, even what we think we have hold of is elusive. Even what we think we have hold of is ultimately ephemeral. And that is tied so carefully by Christ to taking care how we listen. Now, I propose that if so far one is not moved to make some decisions about their listening, this ought to be a call to self-examination, one of the elements of self-examination. How do we listen biblically? And on the converse side, the incentive is great. Whoever has, if he's presumably taken care how he listens, whoever has, to him shall more be given. That's beautiful. That reflects the abundance of Jesus Christ that is, I think, in Paul's thinking in Ephesians 3, when he has this to say, verses 20 and 21, Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That great benediction in Ephesians 3 reflects on the exceeding abundance that is in Jesus Christ. And I think Christ is reflecting upon that abundance, that however much we may think we have, if we have the grace of maturing righteousness in our listening, that abundance will continue to be unfolded and made greater. So by this time, I would hope that the question has occurred to you as we've addressed this. What kind of a listener am I? And let's start at the easy one. In terms of other people, how would I rate myself, and how would loved ones who are around me rate me? I can't speak for most of you, but I can say that at age 79, I am still struggling to be a godly listener. And what's my best clue of the remaining sin in the area of service and kingdom obedience called godly listening or holy listening? And that is easy to put the finger on. This doesn't take days of analysis. It's, am I an interrupter when I'm in conversation? Am I an interrupter? How often do I interrupt people that are talking to me? Is this something I do rarely, a fair amount, a lot, or almost as a style of conversation? Am I an interrupter? I challenge you to ask a loved one near you, at least one or two, preferably three, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a very poor listener, 10 being an excellent listener, how would you rate me? I would encourage you to do that. It may take some courage, but if we listen to what they say about our listening, it could be life-changing if indeed we're not a careful listener. Proverbs has something to say about this, a text that I believe is familiar to all of you, chapter 18 of Proverbs. Verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and shame to him. Now, it may seem like the cliche of all cliches to say this, but I think that there is symbolic significance in the fact that God made us with 2 ears and 1 mouth. I can't lay a major principle on it, although I can say I think it's reflective of God's intention for us as hearers of the word. It's interesting, the pride of life is expressed in one way, as we were well reminded this morning in adult Sunday school, through the eyes, the lust of the eyes. It's interesting, you don't hear nearly as much about the lust of the ears. Fascinating. How does the gospel come according to Romans 10? Let's go there for a moment and see the testimony of Paul on this subject. Romans 10. Romans 10. Verse 12. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever, verse 13 says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Notice he does not say whom they've not seen, but him who have they not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as in is written, how beautiful are these ears are the, let me try that one again. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report, something that's heard with the ears. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the way that we listen is revelatory, not only of our state of salvation or lack thereof, but also the degree of fruitfulness that we have. So would you be a careful listener? Do you want to be a careful listener for the glory of the kingdom, the better to honor Jesus Christ, the better to reflect the sovereign will of God, that the eyes tend to be the area where sin most easily enters, and the ears tend to be the place that has the least potential for losing the message, if indeed that grace is given. How can I grow in my hearing skills? Well, to get one other perspective on it, let's turn for a moment to James chapter 1. Text that was quoted this morning both in Sunday school and in the worship service. James 1, 25. Bear with me as I get the page turned here. Well, I think I misquoted myself. Let's not be a forgetful hearer, is the text I was thinking of. Yes, there it is, verse 22, my writing mistake. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves, which would, of course, tie in beautifully with the text in which Christ says that they can lose even what they think they have. So what are some of the ways that we can enhance the spiritual grace of God-blessed hearing? Well, obviously we can pray for that grace. Obviously we can pray for the grace to be a careful listener. That may seem simplistic, but it's profound. Christ said, you have not because you ask not. And he also said, ask and keep on asking, you shall receive. Seek and keep on seeking, you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, it shall be opened unto you. So I would ask you, do you pray, at least occasionally, for listening ears? Do you pray for the grace of holy hearing, of godly hearing? And then, as I've suggested already, ask a close friend or loved one how they would rate you as a listener, particularly with the act of interrupting as the marker on the scale of 1 to 10. It's almost impossible to self-correct the sin of interrupting. And I find myself regularly having to ask forgiveness for starting to talk before another person is finished. So not only can I pray for the grace to be a holy listener, but pray for the grace to resist the temptation to interrupt, and then the temptation to become a forgetful hearer. And if I work using the ordinary means of grace, at seeking to be a remembering hearer, that will improve my grace of hearing significantly. I can ask the Holy Spirit to so instruct my mind and heart that I will get a better and better grasp and careful listening. Again, our text implies that particular grace. Therefore, take heed how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And so if you have made careful hearing as a part of your service to Christ, not just a nice improvement to make you socially more acceptable, but to be intimately connected with your walk with Christ and your kingdom service and the reflecting of the presence of Christ, that one of the ways to manageably undertake your part in the grace of sanctification and growing in holiness is to pray for a maturing in the holy activity of listening intently and carefully. Listen to some of the words here of Scripture concerning listening, in addition to our text. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. I'll back up a little bit to verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee, the Jordan, to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, Permit it at this time, for this is the way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then, if you remember, the occasion on which the transfiguration, Christ appeared with Moses and Elijah, as the cloud overshadowed James, John, and Peter, the voice of God said, This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Command to hear Jesus Christ. Chapter 7 of Matthew, 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who acts upon these words of mine, this is about the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, and acts upon them, the words of mine, in other words, what he said, may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst upon that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And remember that one of the marks of ineffectual hearing that is not God-blessed was being rootless, or if you will, without a solid foundation. And then in chapter 6, verse 46, which doesn't exist. I can't read my writing. Oh, chapter 6. Nope. I can't read it. Let's try chapter 17 and verse 5, however. This is now the quote from the transfiguration moment. Verse 5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Three-word follow-on commandment. Listen to him. Listen to him. So do other parts of Scripture besides the Gospel speak to the issue of holy listening? Let's turn to Psalm 143. Verse 8. Let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in thee. Let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in thee. And if you will, one of the most powerful verses, in my opinion, in the whole Bible, about listening, and particularly to the word, is found in Proverbs chapter 28. This is one, I believe, that's worthy of underline. Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Whew. That's one that takes my breath away when I read it. He who turns away his ear from hearing the law, and the law is one of the ways that the Old Testament describes itself, so we could also translate that, who turns away his ear from hearing the word, and if you want to be very exegetically tight, especially the law, you will, his very prayers become a stench in the nostril of Almighty God. I could not count if my life depended on it, the number of times people who have rejected the obligation to be faithful in attendance at worship have said to me, but I pray regularly. And I asked, do you go to church? Are you under the regular proclamation of the Word of God, which God has himself specifically designed as the primary means by which sinners will be converted and saints build up in the most holy faith? Are you under the preaching of the Word? And they'll say, no, but I pray. Are you satisfied that the Scripture says there is a category of prayer, if I could put it that way, whose prayer offerings are not merely rejected by God or disregarded, but are a stench in his nostrils? What's that saying? Well, the implication is that when we pray without listening to the Word of God, without listening to the law, we are incrementally committing idolatry, informing more and more of our thoughts on the basis of our own understanding. I've said this before from this pulpit, and I think it can't be said too often. Sin is never static. It's always dynamic. We're either growing out of sin and into righteousness, or we're descending into deeper and deeper sin. And the fact of the matter is that the longer a person goes without listening to the Word, listening to the words of Jesus in particular, the greater becomes the abomination of their prayer if they choose to claim that as a basis for hoping on the grace of God. God wants our prayer life to be based entirely upon his Word in its content and its manner and its attitude. And basically, we are self-deceived if we think we can talk to God successfully, effectually, when we're not listening to him speak to us. Jesus Christ was a careful listener. Jesus Christ was a holy listener. And we can find no instance in which he abused that lustrous quality of denying oneself in order to better listen to what another says. And he did it in many instances, such as the Syrophoenician woman who came and asked him to heal his daughter, and to heal her daughter. And he said to her, I came only to be called to the children of Israel. Basically, you're a Gentile. You're a stranger. Why should I listen to you? And she said, because even the dogs, after saying it, basically, he couldn't take what was given to the children and give it to the dogs. She said, even the dogs can eat of the crumbs that fall from the children's table. He said, great is your faith. She was a beautiful example of effectual listening because she didn't take the bait to get defensive. She didn't take the bait to get defensive. She accepted what Christ said. She listened to him and accepted her status as one who in the eyes of the Jewish kingdom was a dog. That was a term for Gentiles, a term for non-Jews in their midst. And she listened to Christ, responding appropriately to what he said, and she was marvelously blessed. So how's your listening? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that the sin in the heart of man and the race of man began with not listening in the Garden of Eden. And we know, Lord, that it's so easy to slip into careless listening, to answer a matter before we hear it fully, to presume what another is going to say, and at the level of one-to-one to one another, how much more do we disregard what you tell us to hear? We pray, Father, that we will be a people who listen with a good and righteous heart, cleansed by the blood of Christ, who listen with perseverance, who reflect the power of the gospel in our countenance and conduct, and are enriched in the response you are sovereignly pleased to give to our listening to you and to hearing what the gospel says and to listening to the words of your Son carefully, in whose name we pray. Amen. Will you turn to number 591? Jesus Calls Us. A hymn about the issue of Christ's words calling us. 591, we will stand to sing.